Friends, if you would like to open the Gospel of John again, in chapter 6, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we're going to talk about bread. It's okay, it's quite warm here, sorry. I hope it's not cold. You don't get punished if you take your jacket off. Let's look at something. I know it's a long reading. I didn't want to read the over 60 verses. It would have been a long reading, but I have chosen only one section to give a kind of introduction. Jesus, in this chapter, has performed an incredible miracle. He has fed 5,000 people. And his people, they are so glad they have been fed, and they want to make him a king. And Jesus leaves them, and he goes to a mountain alone. After that, there's a second miracle. Jesus walks, you can look it up from verse 16 to 24, that Jesus meets his disciples by walking on the sea. So that he proves miracles, these miracles of feeding the 5,000, walking on the sea, and then they go from where they were to Capernaum. Jesus in Capernaum is met by this crowd, the crowd whom he had fed, and they ask him, "When thou camest thou hither? When did you come here?" To put it in modern English. And Jesus confronts them. You see, many people have an attitude towards religion is what I can get from it. People look at God as a kind of, God must give me something. I must not give anything to God. God is the supplier of things from a material point of view. So Jesus confronts them because he knows they follow him, but they don't follow Jesus because they believe in Jesus. They follow Jesus because he fed them. And so Jesus confronts them and say, "Verily," in verse 26, "I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." So Jesus is very blunt. So you're not seeking me because you saw me performing miracles, not because you believe I am the Messiah, but you are seeking me because you were fed. And there are a lot of people, my friends, who do look at Christ, look at Christian religion as a kind of a mean. They think, you know, God must give him. Now, I don't know if you have heard of people who teach that we must claim. Now, if you want a Ferrari, you pray to the Lord and you say, "I need that Ferrari," and you are going to give it to me. Now, you may giggle about these things, and I repeat what I heard from this kind of people. This is the health and wealth prosperity gospel. I am entitled to these things. I am entitled. God must give it to me. But Jesus is not talking about this. What do we see instead? First of all, Jesus is talking to, he rebukes them because they are selfish. He rebukes them because they are selfish. And it starts with putting them in a situation where they have to really think. First of all, he tells them, labor, verse 27. I don't mind waiting if you want to interpret what I'm saying. One more time. Don't mind. I'll happily do that. I want people to follow me. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, labor not for the meat which perishes. Now, Jesus is not encouraging unemployment. Some people may think, you know, we have to work. But what is really Jesus is addressing the need, the real needs of every man and woman and child. The need of being at peace with God. You see, sin has separated us from God. And we have no peace with God when we are in our unconverted. You can testify, I'm sure, of that. Before your conversion, you didn't have peace with God. God was probably your worst enemy. You have no thoughts of God. And so Jesus, even if you were religious, even if you were brought up in a Christian home, God was far away. And so Jesus is addressing an issue. Do not waste your time about things which are do not have eternal importance. There is a part, yes, we now need to go to work, but there are people but work, at the end of the day, my friends, you can work all your life and never be satisfied. You can have all the money you want, but you will never be satisfied. You can have all the lovely houses you plan in your head, and you will be never satisfied. You can have all the earthly goods you desire, but you will never be satisfied. You know, if you remember, prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55 exhort, if you want to look at Isaiah 55 verse 2, it is the same question, isn't it? The Lord is telling his people, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Jesus is not saying anything new here. He's actually repeating something which was told almost 800 years before he was born by the prophet Isaiah, to seek the Lord. So the work of man, we see this thing, is revealing that his people had a disappointing work. It was very disappointing. But then Jesus gives them an order, interesting. He says, verse 37, aspect. He points them to a satisfying work. Labor, not for the meat which perishes, not for the things which are material, and they will go one day, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. This is a satisfying work. What has the Father given? What has the Father given? In satisfying labor, it is, first of all, we have to understand, it is that food that the Father has given is none else than Jesus himself. And he says so, Jesus, in verse 51. Jesus told his disciples, the Jews, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus gave himself for us. And in that respect, my friends, it's very important that Jesus compared himself to a very basic food, bread. Everybody likes bread, I hope. It's a basic food in many countries. And Jesus is important. He uses a very simple illustration to explain to us that is available. The gospel is for everybody. That's why he chose the picture of bread. So bread is suitable. As the simple bread is suitable for many people, and is the simple diet in many countries, or used to be in those days, bread was the basic food, it means that it's sufficient. The work of Christ He is sufficient. He doesn't need to be hearted. We can live on, no, physically speaking, we can live on bread and water. It doesn't matter if we don't have meat, but we can live at least on bread. And so this is suitable. It's a basic need. It's a basic food. But as, you know, my friend, bread is sufficient for people. So Christ is sufficient, suitable. It really meets the real needs of men and women. That's the symbology there. As the bread is a basic food, and we can always have, we all have a loaf of bread around the kitchen, even if we don't go shopping, so we can eat. So Jesus, in a way, the picture there is the basic food is suitable for everybody. It's suitable to you. See, the Jews were boasting about the fact God gave us the manna from heaven. Who do you think you are? They were questioning him. Not only is it suitable, it's also seasonable. It is imperishable meat. You know, it's imperishable. The bread that Jesus gave when he performed the miracle, well, the bread, they had the meal, and they, after the one, would have been angry again. And even we are told that they collected some baskets of bread. It would have gone stale after a while. But Jesus doesn't go stale. Jesus doesn't become old. Jesus does not go off. That's food wise. There is no limit. There is no corruption. In a way, Christ is not, because Christ does not see corruption. Christ is always there. There's another thought. Christ is the suitable food, and is the satisfying. In verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." What a beautiful word we have here. To be completely satisfied in a spiritual life. He shall never hunger. Do you ever think, my friend, sometime, the blessings we have in Christ? A Savior, a Redeemer, Lord, the one who guides us. He is everything to us. You see, the basic need for human life is food and drink, food, you know, bread and water, very basic, very essential. You take away bread, you give a man anything to eat, he'll die. You just give water, he'll still die. He die of hunger. You just give him bread and don't give him any water, he'll die of dehydration. So that both Jesus makes all, in a way, this picture gives, he is able to provide complete care. He gives complete, he meets our needs completely. So there is satisfaction. How does he do the work? You see, the Jews were told not to work for the things. But how does he do the work? Through Christ. What should we do? What shall we do in verse 28? They say, what shall we do that we may work the work of God, the Jews asked. But it's to trust in him. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So the object of faith is that we believe in Christ. You see, the Jews wanted to do something. So you gave us the bread. You're telling us not to work for the bread that perisheth. Then you're telling us to do something else. How do we work it? What are we supposed to do? This is something in a question very often people ask. I remember witnessing in the office when I used to work in the consulate, and people were asking me, "So what do you believe? How can I be forgiven?" I said, well, you can be forgiven by trusting in Christ. And their reaction was, that's too easy. I don't have to do anything. No, no, you can't do anything at all. You cannot work for your forgiveness. There is no work of yours which will make you worthy to be forgiven. Because everything we do before God is not good enough for to obtain for receiving forgiveness. Because all our works are filthy rag. So the work is done by Christ in Christ. What do we need to do? We need to believe in Him, the one who has sent. It's interesting, is the true bread. The picture of bread is interesting because the bread, the Jews were complaining, well, God gave us the manna. But Jesus says, my Father, says in verse 32, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. You see, Moses gave you the manna, but he gave you not the bread from heaven. You see, they received the manna, but that was not the true bread from heaven. The true bread of heaven is Christ. And Christ is from above. So that's the interesting. The source of this bread is not the ideas of men, is the Father. The Father has sent Christ. So Jesus is facing here. They're attacking him. But we say we have been given the manna from Moses, and we can continue reading this because they're counteracting Jesus in many ways. And this is the true. Jesus also talks about the form of this bread. It is the bread itself, all life. This passage, my friends, is very often used by the Roman Catholic Church to teach transubstantiation. It doesn't teach that. But it gives us the kind of entrance to understand what Christ has done. In fact, when Jesus says, my flesh is meat indeed, Jesus is talking about there is the true bread coming from heaven, and they ask him, and he is the only true bread. And then the nature is, not only is the true bread, it's the only one who can meet our needs, but also given by God, because God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now if you look at, if you understand what I'm saying, Jesus here is the, Christ is the only one who can meet the needs. The purpose of this bread is to give life. In fact, this is the will that is in verse 40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Do you have that life? Do you have the life which becomes for Christ? Have you trusted in Christ? Do you continue to trust in Christ? Sometimes we think that we trust in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, but do we trust in Christ for our sanctification? Do we trust in Christ for our spiritual growth? Because sometimes it's very easy to just think, I am saved, I'm forgiven, I'm not going to hell. But brothers and sisters, our conversion is, our being a Christian is not just a kind of escape from hell. It is also a desire to grow in Christ. You know, if some people preach a kind of gospel where they say, sign on the dotted line and you're forgiven, and people think they are Christians, they escaped hell. That's not true. They have not escaped hell. They never repented. But here we have the bread is, Christ is portrayed as the true bread from heaven, as the bread of God, and as the bread of life. And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. This is very important. It supports us. You see, we need to find more and more the identity, the fact that Christ is the source of life daily. Every aspect of our lives belongs to God. Every aspect. You see, when you are converted, my friends, you don't live a dual life. You don't live one life is for the world and one life is for Christ. You are not a Christian just on Sunday, Monday to Saturday. You are a civilian. You are a Christian 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and you belong to Christ. And here, you see, because Christ provides for everything we need spiritually, our comfort, our strength. And so how do we appropriate of this bread? Simple. He that cometh to me, he says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now there are people who say, well, I have a problem in coming to Christ. I've done too many things wrong. I've sinned. I have rebelled. I have committed very bad sins. Well, there is a promise here, my friends. Not everybody will come to Christ. Because Jesus told these people, you also have seen me and believe not. In verse 36. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. These people actually witnessed the miracles, but they will not believe. But then he points out one thing interesting. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You see, my friends, we find a great comfort in the doctrines of grace, the sovereignty of God, God as his people. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me. There is a people. The Lord has his people. As his elect. And is the Lord who works in the hearts of the elect. And they will come. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, when we see people come into Christ, there is a joy because it's the Lord working in the house. They have taken, in a way, they're enabled, if I may use the expression, by the Lord himself to take possession of this bread. They cannot take the bread by themselves. It is the Lord who enables them to take the bread. It is the Lord who gives them life to take the bread. To have more life in Christ. To have true life in Christ. And the beautiful thing is, I will in no wise cast out. When the Lord speaks into the heart of a man or a woman or a child, when he is convicting people of sin, and he stirs the desire, and he moves the heart of man, you know, he changed the heart of stone into a heart of flesh, and that heart longs for Christ. And of course we become aware of our sins. You see, when we were lost in sin, we would not care about our situation of heart, because we liked sin. It was normal. Wouldn't you say so? When we were sinners, lost sinners, sin was normal. But now that the heart has been changed, we desire God. And we're aware of our sins, and we think, oh, would the Lord welcome me? Of course he will. He will in no wise cast down. I think it's going to be a short sermon, but what I want to say is this. This applies not only when we preach the gospel to the unbelievers, but it applies also to our Christian lives in some aspect. Do we go? Do we find in Christ every day the true bread of life? Do we find in Christ that is the only one who can satisfy us? Do we think ourselves? Do we realize that we shouldn't? We are not going to ever anger, never be thirst again. Do we realize how blessed we are? But this is a very interesting question. There are many believers, sadly today, that they complain too much. They forget their blessings. They forget what they have received from the Lord. They forget the promises of God. They lose sight of what Christ has done for them. It's like having this bread and leave it on the shelf, never eat it. Well, that's not right to do it. We sometimes have this kind of promises, and we don't appropriate ourselves of these promises. You see, when we are saved, the promises are ours. So I just wanted to encourage you through this sermon to look at Christ as the true bread from heaven, the only one who can satisfy you. If you are not a Christian, or you're a little child, Christ is the only one who can satisfy you. He can meet all your needs, spiritual needs. He's forgiven us of our sins, peace with God, eternal life in Christ. If you are a believer, my friends, if you have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, then look at that Jesus of the bread from heaven who needs to be appropriated. Who needs to be believed constantly. Who needs to be, we need to approach him in prayer. Christ. Right? Praying through the scriptures. Often we lose sight. And also it's a warning here. There's a warning. How do we look for Christ sometime, and that man can do just because he does something for us? Or do we also consider the fact that we need to do something for him as children of God? So I hope that in a way I have been able to encourage you to trust in the Lord and grow in the Lord. It's a simple message which I try to deliver, but be satisfied in Christ. Very often believers are not satisfied when they lose sight of Christ. They look for other things, and then they realize that they're doing something completely wrong. They don't find any satisfaction. That's when we find the Christian backsliding or growing cold, because they get disappointed. But they don't, because they don't look to Christ as the main source of the real food. So let us pray and ask the Lord to guide us. Almighty God, we come before thy presence and we thank thee for Christ, the true bread of life. We were often in the past trying to feed other places, rather than come to the source. We were looking for things which were not real satisfaction. We could not give us any real satisfaction. We were looking for things which were so temporary and so frail and so empty, Lord. And we realized that often we tried and just found no peace. And we pray, oh Lord, that people out there, we will be able to testify that Christ is the only way of salvation, that Christ is the only bread from heaven, the only bread which can satisfy the hunger of the soul. And there are people out there who are practicing false religions, trying to satisfy their souls with food which is dreadful and poisonous and beliefs which are dangerous. And we pray, O Lord, that thou would guide us to preach thy word and teach thy word to these people and to point them to Christ. Help us, O Lord, to meditate on thy word. Help us to pray. Help us, Lord, to be careful in detecting when we are going away from thy ways, when we are departing from the right path. And Lord, help, correct us in time, we pray, that we may not get any worse. Do correct us and chasten in time, we beseech thee, and that we may go back to the straight path. And we ask these things, O Lord, with the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen.